For any program to work, plans have to be detailed, financing has to be solid, and transparency needs to be continuous. As we've come to learn with one wind energy company regarding an increasing number of their projects off the coast of New Jersey and elsewhere, well, they're certainly lacking in those requirements I just mentioned. This has led to an increased concern, which had already been raised about offshore wind energy projects in New Jersey. As a result, a recent Monmouth University poll is showing the public support of offshore wind projects has dropped rather significantly. With us now to look at all of this is the Executive Director of Clean Ocean Action, Cindy Zipf. How are you today, Cindy?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on the call.
And learn more about the work and focus of Clean Ocean Action. I know the title makes a lot of it obvious, but there's more to it. You'll learn that at cleanoceanaction.org. So we've come to learn, Cindy, now, because I know that your side is the environmental aspect of these projects, but the financial has to create the additional concerns because Ørsted, the company behind the first New Jersey wind farm off the coast of Atlantic City, they had promised a 2025 completion, turning on the switch. Everything was going to be wonderful. The electricity would be flowing. Then came about a $2.3 billion pile of red ink. Now they're saying, well, first they were saying we might walk away from this whole thing. Now they're saying that as opposed to starting to turn on the electricity in 25, they're not going to start the project until 2026. That's brings to mind a question. If wind energy is such a great business, why is Ørsted swimming in all this red ink?
Yeah, well, I certainly can't answer the question as to why they are, other than, you know, they may have taken a little bit too much more than they could chew. You know, they were gobbling up all kinds of projects. In fact, perhaps your listeners may know that, remember this, but, you know, in March, Ørsted bought out another company of a project up off of Massachusetts. They had, you know, some very robust funds in the bank, and they bought for, I think it was over $300 million, another project. So they've been buying projects and leasing projects, and, you know, so, you know, they may have taken on too much, obviously. And, you know, but was particularly galling is that, as you had said, that, you know, so they just bought this company in March, and in May they told New Jersey folks, hey, New Jersey, if you don't give us more taxpayer or ratepayer dollars, we're going to walk. So they took this kind of bully attitude and said, if you don't give us more of your money, we're going to walk. And so what, unfortunately, the New Jersey legislature did was quickly pass a law to give just Ørsted another up to $1 billion of ratepayer money. And, you know, unfortunately, that sailed through and the governor signed it. So those dollars that were supposed to come to New Jersey ratepayers will now go to Ørsted. And even still, a couple weeks later, another galling action on the part of Ørsted is they went to the federal government and they said, geez, you know, we've got all these projects now, and you know, the prices have gone up. There's been inflation, and you know, we want you now at the federal level to kick in more billions of dollars on top of the billions you've already offered us, or we're going to walk. So, you know, this is pretty outrageous. I don't know of another company that would be able to get away with something like this.
You know, what Cindy's referring to under the Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, these wind projects are granted a 40% investment tax credit. So, like Cindy said, that's billions of your dollars that are going to these developers who are, in turn, wanting more and starting a hostage situation for all intents and purposes. And add to that, too, Cindy, you look at companies that are doing these projects, they're being promised rates of return that are far above what the regulated utilities, more traditional heritage utilities, I guess we'd call them, are allowed to get. Atlantic Shore, for example, they have the project off of Long Beach Island. They're going to realize an 18% annual return on their investment, but the BPU limits regulated utilities to a 9% rate of return on their investment. It's not a level playing field at all.
No, absolutely not. And it's not clear to me why the offshore wind industry as a whole appears to be getting a pass at the state level and also at the federal level. But when it came down to the local municipalities that have to, you know, allow some of these, some of the construction aspects of these projects to come on board, when they started raising concerns and saying, hey, wait a minute, we care about our town. We don't want some of these giant high voltage cables coming into our towns or our parks and areas. The legislature, the New Jersey legislature, was quick to pass a law prohibiting local towns from having any kind of limitations on offshore wind. So you said it's kind of a rigged system, and it's absolutely looking more and more like that.
Talking with Cindy Ziff, who is the executive director of Clean Ocean Action. CleanOceanAction.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning to the environmental aspect of these offshore wind projects, the focus has been and still is on, we've seen the increase of the beached whales and dolphins, which the DEP says nothing to worry about here. It's not anything to do with what's going on out there. But I thought of something that's been overlooked. We're looking at what's out there on the ocean, the turbines. Well, what about what the turbines do? How is that getting to where it needs to go, the energy creation? Well, it turns out there was a court battle in Cape May County last month because Ørsted is going to run 15 miles under the ocean, 7 miles under the beach, cables to get the electricity generated to the generating station, which is in Upper Township. 7 miles of cables under the beach. That doesn't sound like anything risky, does it?
No, and I think one of the things that, it's all of a concern. I mean, when you start layering on top all of the different questions that are being raised about offshore wind, you know, the fact that they're only 55% efficient. So if the turbines are only 50, they're only going to make about 50% of what they say they're going to generate, they're actually going to generate. They lose about 4% a year because being out in the ocean, having big technology out in the salty, windy ocean, you know, it wears on the machinery. So they lose 4% a year. In 10 years, they're going to lose an additional 40% of their efficiency. They only last 20 to 25 years if they survive hurricanes and the other kinds of things that can happen out in the ocean. The turbines are so big, they will jam radar of small and large ships alike, and so that puts all of the oil and chemical shipping that takes place off our coast, puts our coast at real risk. And then all the onshore activity, that's just the beginning of the concerns for that happens out in the ocean. And then, as you say, you know, we're bringing this massive infrastructure onshore. A lot of our small harbor ports, our coastal ports, our marinas and things are going to be turned into industrial-sized port, you know, big ports for big ships to be bringing, crews and doing operations and maintenance on all of these things. The cables that have to come on shore, as you were just talking about. Then we have to get the infrastructure, the grid system in shape to bring all this energy on shore to distribute it to different areas. And that still needs to be done. So, you know, it is a massive thing. I don't think there was a lot of thought being put into it. I think people just thought, oh, windmills, great. We'll pop them up there and we'll get all this great energy. This is a massive industrialization of not only the ocean, but also the Jersey Shore. And it's going to change the culture of the Jersey Shore, of one that was based on a clean ocean economy of fishing and boating and diving and swimming and surfing, to be much more industrial. And I don't think that there was a real fair dialogue and understanding of that going into this. And I think New Jersey citizens ought to be, you know, very concerned, and they ought to raise their concerns with their elected officials. And because every one of them are up for election, there's also electoral candidates to talk to. So people really need to get to their elected official and raise questions.
And as it's often said, the details tell the story. When there's a lack of detail, then maybe you want to know more about the story, because someone doesn't want to show everything that's involved with this. Just case in point, with the dolphins seem to be and the whales being beached, it seemed like a fast track to a decision denying that there's a connection between what's going on with the turbine projects and the sudden rise of beached whales and dolphins. And when there's been demand after demand for a suspension, not a cancellation, a suspension of activity to see what happens, to see, well, maybe we won't see the beaching of the white whales and the dolphins. Well, that's refused and denied as well. Again, action, actions-free questions. Questions demand answers. Those answers, as of yet, are not coming regarding a fast-growing aspect off of our Jersey Shore. If you want to see what a turbine looks like, by the way, it's on land, I know, but the size and the shape and the magnitude is still the same. If you're driving into Atlantic City, go off the expressway onto the Black Horse Pike. You will see a turbine there near the municipal garage, I believe it is. It's an imposing figure, and you have to wonder, too, if something like that should malfunction off the shore, what's the cost of that fixing? And will these companies come back for more money to demand that? Well, we're not going to fix it until you fork over some more money. Again, questions demanding answers, and those answers still to come. Learn more about what Clean Ocean Action is all about and how they are addressing and demanding answers to these questions. You can go to their website, cleanoceanaction.org. We've been talking with their executive director, Cindy Zipp. Cindy, thanks so much for raising the awareness on these questions and demanding the answers. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, hey, thank you so much. And just remember that the ones off of Atlantic City are tinker toys compared to what's being proposed out in the ocean. The ones out in the ocean are as tall as the Chrysler Building. One blade alone of the turbines are the size of the Statue of Liberty. So these are massive in scale. And I think people have the right to know, they need to know, and they need to make their voices heard. Thank you so much for having me on the program.